Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Wednesday, it's Ryan Kelly Morning After. The all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes. Doug had to bolt early for television responsibilities. Iggy's bringing the heat. Plowhawk's bringing the heat. Sea Monster's bringing the heat.
How does that work? He suspends me and Kat, and then he leaves.
Yeah, so now I'm just going to do a monologue for the next 30 minutes. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. Blues tickets are the prize. Send your emails in the morning after at InsideSTL.com. 1 and 8 o'clock hours, Stephen Stingray Ray brought the heat. And then Matt Holliday with his farewell interview.
Yeah, he said no one's closing the door. I know the Cardinals said, Mo said nothing is final. Certainly Matt Holliday would consider whatever options are out there to stay with the Cardinals, but you get the sense unlikely.
Yeah. Probably going to hell.
Yeah, 2 years. He wants to play 2 years. That's another thing, too. If you're Matt Holliday and you feel like I'm going to be productive for 2 years, why not jump now and find a place that seems like it's a good fit?
So if you missed that, it was a really good interview. Matt Holliday with us, and he's in Jupiter right now. It's where he lives, and he's going to have to head across the state, he said, because of Hurricane Matthew. I'm sure the Cardinals are keeping a close eye on that hurricane.
Yeah.
Those storms have come through there and wrecked Roger Dean before, and now you have a hurricane potentially making landfall on the Atlantic side. So something for the Cardinals and Cardinal fans who may be making the trip down there to keep an eye on. Holliday was great, though, and it was good to have him on the show. Thank you for making that happen, the Cat.
Yeah, I think he wanted to do it, too, deep down. Otherwise, he wouldn't have texted to say, can we do it now?
You know, yesterday on We Are Live, you have Chris Denman, you have Travis Trill, you have Hannah Ray Yates, and you have Michael Gaines. And there's an exchange that I'm told that we have to listen to and analyze. I don't know. Have you listened to this, the Plow Met?
I have. It's provocative, very hot, and gets you thinking.
Wow. Well, we better get to it then.
I guess that could be used for a promo, couldn't it, Sea Monster? All right, let's take a listen. What's going on?
Have you guys ridden to Clydesdale before?
Yeah, duh.
A couple times. She was wild.
I saw Django.
You're so gross.
It was a female horse. What?
Chris said
she had a fast gait.
Great gait.
That's a
great gait.
Little horse.
Course.
Little horse humor.
I've bareback Clyde so before.
Clip. 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 We don't need to do the show anymore.
Hannah, do you want to elaborate?
Yeah.
It's a good man. He went back to it.
So, my friend has horses, and we all went horseback riding, and there wasn't a saddle to fit the Clydesdale, so I barebacked it. I have a picture.
This show's awful like ours.
Same. That poor girl. See, look at, like, Hannah's like a little sister, you know, and so I don't bring, because I know, you know, there's certain women that, you know, for example, Plowhawk, just play the, just a couple drops from Keisha Gray, because you get an idea there, because I think they're right around the same age. Here's
what are you
something.
Trying to say?
Just listen. I got a wonderful, wonderful premise. Right. It's going to be brilliant. Take a listen. Buy as much time as possible.
What about it, Enema? What do you want to know?
Sorry, it's
pretty good. Pretty good. We're going to buy him a little more time because you wanted
a
couple.
I'm going to the game. Yeah. I'm down. She has no personality. No. There's this new girl that I've had my eye on. Mm. I don't want to share her. I've never been to a football game before.
That's the wonderful Keisha Gray who's going to be making an appearance.
What's this great premise?
So the premise is with Keisha, I take a different line on the hand than I do with somebody like Hannah. And Hannah, fresh out of the University of Missouri Journalism School, couldn't be nicer. Super cool girl. But unfortunately, is so she's as pure as the
driven snow.
Thank you. And so she makes an innocent comment about riding a Clydesdale bareback, which in 99% of society would simply be, oh, that's interesting. You rode a Clydesdale bareback.
Was it scary?
On this show or on that show, probably not on Frank's show, although he had a unique tribute to Arnold Palmer.
I don't remember it.
It's taken a different way, and then she has no idea why Denman and Travis and Gaines are cackling.
So what you're saying is that normal people could say run-of-the-mill things, and when you're surrounded by children,
right,
it can be put in a different light.
Right.
That Frank thing, I don't know if I remember your reference there.
Women wanted to be like him.
Oh, yeah.
Guys wanted to be with him.
Now I remember. Thanks, Plaza.
So with Keisha, still in the same age range, and obviously also wonderful, you know, as you can tell based on the interview and the various clips from the interview that Iggy was kind enough to put into the Plowhawk system, such as this one.
Mm-hmm.
Such as this.
This one.
She's very hardcore. Thank you so much. Nighttime.
You see the notes right there. Hannah, different. And is just simply telling a wonderful anecdote about riding a Clydesdale bareback.
Nah. I'm putting my makeup on.
That's Keisha. It's still Keisha right there. It's Keisha.
See, and what we do is like we play the role of the media when any presidential, vice presidential, whatever the candidate is, has a misstep. We focus on it and try to make fun of it.
Speaking of which, Gary Johnson yesterday, back in like August, July, I was thinking, okay, I'm probably going to just vote for Gary Johnson, even though I realize it's going to be Nader Perot-esque. But the more and more I find out about Gary Johnson and the more I hear him talk, I'm going, oh, God, that's not an option either. Here's Gary Johnson yesterday on MSNBC regarding foreign policy.
And the fact that somebody can dot the I's and cross the T's on a foreign leader or a geographic location then allows them to put our military in harm's way. You're talking about PTSD earlier. We put our military in this horrible situation where we go in and support regime change. They get involved in civil wars where hundreds of thousands of innocent people are in a crossfire. We're literally shooting at ourselves because we support both sides of conflict, Syria as an example, and we wonder why our men and service women suffer from PTSD in the first place. It's because we elect people who can dot the I's and cross the T's on these names and geographic locations, as opposed to the underlying philosophy, which is let's stop getting involved in these regime changes.
Gary Johnson, in response to criticism that he couldn't name foreign leaders.
Or didn't know what Aleppo was.
Right.
Yeah, I think pretty much with all the candidates, the more you look, the less you like. I don't know. I think he said some things where people wanted an alternative candidate, and then they follow what he's saying on the campaign trail, and they're like, nope.
Yeah, that's me.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. Well,
so this is what we got.
That's not probably it. Not impressed with the good doctor, friend of the show, Jill Stein. So, yeah. I'm torn is what I am. And I voted in the presidential election ever since I could. First one was 96.
I'm voting.
No, I'll vote, but I truly am torn. I don't know. Buck Swope just posted this. 5 years ago today, you know what happened 5 years ago today?
We did a really bad show.
Probably so, but also the rally squirrel was born 5 years ago today.
A little too late now for any kind of mojo for that. I was tweeting that we needed to channel our inner Torty Craig at some point to try to make something happen. It's kind of sad.
It was the same deal, wasn't it? It was the same year.
Those things come up as a team makes a run, and I'm sure something there would have been a rally possum or something that came up if the Cardinals had made a charge. It is. It's kind of sad and kind of depressing, especially in St. Louis where we're so used to postseason baseball. You watched the game last night. You said it too. You could just feel the energy. Yeah. Playoff baseball
especially
is great.
Toronto,
I miss
they
that.
Get great crowds for those playoff games, and they are like game sevens. So I would imagine you'll have a similar atmosphere tonight in Queens. And what all-day baseball on Friday, all four series playing. Game two for the ALDS and then game one for the NLDS. I really am thinking about putting a small taste on the Dodgers.
And then for small taste for you, is it 50K?
I don't want to get into specific numbers, but yeah.
Yeah, small taste. You know, I didn't even
get 8-1 on them.
I didn't even want to watch.
I just think they're going to win them.
I didn't even want to watch the VP debate last night. I figure I'll watch some baseball or, you know, something. And it just drew me in. I was like, all right, I'll take a peek. And then I started watching it. But I will be all in on baseball from here going forward. And I was thinking about this. If the Cardinals had suffered some sort of heartbreaking ouster, say, in the wild card game, or they match up with the Cubs, and I might have had a distaste for baseball in the short term, in the aftermath of something like that. But the way it unfolded now, I'm looking forward to watching playoff baseball.
Yeah, it's different because, and like I said, and I would have liked to, and I didn't know how long, because you and Holiday were texting, so I didn't know if he's like, I got 10 minutes, butt ass, you know, so I didn't want to go into, because there were a number of things I wanted to ask specifically about this season, but also about, you know, his favorite moment here. And I also, because now it's 7 years ago. But how difficult he was on himself after that drop in L.A., you know, because he was only 2 months into being a Cardinal at the time. Now he clearly has had a great run and it's, you know, in the distant past. But at the time, so therefore, I would imagine there's some perspective he would be comfortable sharing on something that if we asked him, say, at spring training in 2010 about it, we probably would have gotten a different answer. But all those things that I never know, you know, what the arrangement is. When.
Well, I just felt like with a storm approaching.
Storm.
You know.
Either way, that, you know, along those lines with Holiday, that there's some distance there and the 2016 team, you know, I don't know how those guys feel about it. And because, you know, it did only end a few days ago, maybe they have to be careful with what they say. Whereas like, for example, Edmonds, you know, a decade removed, you know, jokingly, but being serious, talks about how the 2006 team that won the World Series was the worst team of any of the teams he was on here, minus the 07 team. So I don't know if you can say that. But internally, I wonder if the team felt like, yeah, we really should be in there, and if we could get in there, we'd be dangerous. I realize they may have to say that right now, but a few years, because I personally, while it sucks that they are not there, because I just enjoy it. It'd be something to look forward to discussing and discussing strategy. And of course, watching tonight, it doesn't really bother me. 2015, yeah, they lost to the Cubs, but I didn't feel like they were the better team. So I was fine with it. 2014 did bother me because I didn't necessarily think that the Giants were better, number one. And number two, I felt like they really shot themselves in the foot with some just strange strategic moves. And that's tough for me as a fan. Like in Baltimore this morning, are they all freaking out about Buck Showalter and Zach Britton? I don't know. I mean, clearly, you know, the way it works, from my standpoint anyway, in media, specifically sports media cycles, if that move or lack thereof by Showalter takes place on a Sunday or even a Monday, it's probably mentioned briefly. But it happened on the slowest sports day of the fall, no football, not a lot being discussed regarding the NFL outside of Odell Beckham Jr. saying he doesn't enjoy playing anymore, and he's clearly not handling Josh Norman and any other cornerback too well out on the field. So it's slow time, and so now you have people talking about a wild card playoff game as if it were the worst decision in baseball history, prisoner of the moment. And I actually, I understand the criticism because Britton could be in the Cy Young mix, but I feel like it's getting more attention because there's really nothing else to talk about, but you still have to fill time and give yourself hot takes. That's what I think's going on that. Because if Mike Matheny, I realize the Cardinals don't have anybody and haven't had anybody, because Britton's been, some people are saying, comparable to what Eric Gagne was, you know, taking the PED issues out of the equation. But in 04, if you remember Gagne, do you remember him with the Dodgers?
Unhittable.
Yeah. Comparing Britton's 2016 to Gagne, that how do you leave that in there? So to compare, like, oh, if Matheny would have left Sungwan Oh in the bullpen, it's not the same thing. But I understand it. You're on the road. And I get where he's coming from if the logic is, yeah, I got to, if we take the lead, I got to have him ready because I got to get out of the bottom of the inning. At the same time, it's not like I side with that. I also see the perspective of, okay, this guy's the best pitcher, and we've got to get to a point where we're even in a spot where we need to close out the game, so we'll have him pitch the 10th and 11th. Or, you know, there's a runner on, it's now time to bring him into the game. And Britton had already, and Britton used the term frustrated six times in his postgame interview per Jeff Passan, that, you know, it's frustrating, or he was frustrated that he got up three different times. As Steve Klein liked to call it, getting dry humped, but never got into the game. So I understand that. So I'm curious if in Baltimore, for Orioles fans in the Beltway, if they are as livid as the attention that the story is getting nationally. Because for me, for example, with, as it's known now, PhoneGate in Game 5 of the 2011 World Series, I just was like, I wasn't that upset about it. And I don't know why. I did Buck Swope's show, and he asked me about it, and he said, we got to talk about it. I'm going, God, I didn't really think that much of it. I just thought it was an obvious cover-up for something. I don't know what, but it was a mistake, and they just didn't want to say what the mistake was, and I understand that. But I don't know. I wasn't that upset about it. So I'm curious if people in Baltimore this morning are even more pissed off, or if, similar to PhoneGate with St. Louis, I felt like nationally more people were talking about that than locally. I think more people here were pissed off that they lost the game, but weren't focused on just the bizarreness that was PhoneGate.
No, I venture to guess that in Baltimore they're furious over that because they're out, and you think, all right, what could we have done? Well, putting in your best relief pitcher, your closer there, would have saved the game. I mean, it's a no-brainer,
see,
to second guess.
I
understand.
They didn't hit, and it's not like that meant they would have won. It's not like they were up 3-2 and
agreed.
They had a day.
You're talking about being ousted, and you always want your pound of flesh. I understand why you don't go to them there, but, you know, the truth is, a lot of guys would have gone to him there.
And I understand. I'm not saying I wouldn't have. I'm stunned, actually, like how Zach Britton was trending on Twitter. And Buck Showalter was, like, right after him. And the guy who hit the game-winning home run, it's like, oh, who did that? Oh, and Edwin Encarnacion, okay. But Zach Britton wasn't in the game. I'm just like, I believe this is more a product of there was nothing else on. And then the echo chamber of social media. That's what I just don't think it was the most dastardly move. You know, that's what my premise is. But I don't know if I would feel differently if it were the Cardinals. Do I feel that way because I have zero emotional attachment to the Orioles or Blue Jays? I don't know. But people are all fired up about it, and people are fired up about it this morning. It'll die out by the time, you know, Syndergaard throws his first pitch tonight, but it won't in Baltimore.
You were asking, did the Cardinal players really believe if they got in, they had a shot? And I can tell you they did. But they weren't blind to the fact that they were a frustrating team. The guys on the team were frustrated, you know, at the defense would break down here, or there'd be a base running mistake, and they could never put together that run. But they did feel like, I honestly believe that they felt like it was coming, and had it worked out where they had gotten into the playoffs, I believe they were very confident they could have made some noise. I don't think it was like, we know,
of course could have,
we know we're a flawed team, and but, you know, they were, in spite of their flaws, they felt like they could do damage. It's not lost on them that this wasn't a perfect team by any stretch.
Right. I just, realistically, it would have been a very rare situation. I guess 2011, though, was similar. I would make the comparison, and of course we know what the result was, but if you could take yourself back 10 years ago to opening the NLDS in San Diego, I had zero expectations they were going to win that series because they had, you know, kicked around the last few weeks and almost blown the division. So you were playing with house money as a fan emotionally. And that's what I would have been like here. And I do remember in 2011 up against the Phillies that they lost game one against Halliday, and then Cliff Lee was starting game two with Cole Hamels waiting for game three, so that just illustrates how damn good that Phillies team was. And then the Cardinals fell behind early against Cliff Lee. And I'm like, well, at least it's going to be painless. It was fun that they got into the postseason. It'll be quick and easy and over. And little did we know, we were in store for four more weeks of just insanity in the greatest postseason that most of us will probably ever see from a Cardinal fan perspective. So all it takes is winning one game. And they go, okay, well, maybe it can happen. And if they would have taken an early lead on Lester at Wrigley Field on Friday, automatically, at least in Cubs fans, I don't know about the players, but Cubs fans might go, oh, God, no. Not after 102, 103 wins, whatever they wound up with, are we going to lose to this group that kind of kicked around all year?
They would have been playing. The Cardinals would have been playing with house
right,
money.
Right, exactly.
As you, they would
exactly.
have been. They would have been. And, you know, it's all, you know, hindsight and everything. But there were stretches where they got good pitching, just not consistently enough. And the one thing, you talk about a team – 7th, 8th, and 9th innings offensively, this team was a machine. That would lend you to be confident if you get in. You know, this is a team that, like I said, they recognize all their shortcomings, but still confident had they gotten in, something could have happened.
Buck Swope is pissed on the fan page that I reduced his soliloquy to "It's the 5th year of the rally, squirrel." Sometimes Buck Swope writes a lot.
Well,
and I don't have necessarily the time to read the entire thing, but he does break down that game four against the Phillies, which they were trailing, and points out that the Cardinals were leading against the Phillies when the rally squirrel shot across, and that it didn't lead to a rally, and actually Roy Oswalt shut down the Cardinals that inning after the squirrel came shooting out. And he points out something, and this is super baseball nerdy. You'll remember it because you were covering it, and some Cardinal baseball nerd baseball fans like me will remember this as well. But and I thought this is exactly right. The key moment of that game came in the top of the sixth with the Phillies trailing 3-2. Edwin Jackson walked Chase Utley to lead off the inning. I remember this play specifically because from my seats I had the perfect angle on it. Utley was going on Jackson's 3-2 pitch to Hunter Pence, who grounded out to Farkal at short. Utley turned and headed for third as soon as Farkal released his throw to first, and Pujols came off the bag, giving up the sure out, and gunned the ball across the diamond to freeze to get Utley at third. And I thought that was a brilliant play. I mean, do you remember that play?
I
remember it because it was a brilliant play. And you think of, okay, when you think of the 2011 postseason, you obviously think of course, David Freeze's bat, not just against the Rangers in Game 6, but also the Game 7 RBIs to start things, but also the NLCS MVP. But that play, these little nuanced plays right there, actually was a huge play to even get the thing back to Philadelphia and have the classic Game 5 with Carpenter and Halliday. But I specifically remember that play, and I'm like, God. You know, if it doesn't work out, going results-oriented, and I understand that's the way that discussions go, I still loved the play. I still loved the play. He saw an opportunity to get him, and he went for it, and it happened to work out. But
he was fearless.
Wow. I loved that play. And so, therefore, Buck Swope, I hope you are happy that I have now read your entire post in the midst of hosting a radio show. I talked about Harry's Razors, and I want to drive home the point because I know a lot of our listeners are starting to get on board with it. And when you do, make sure you use the promo code INSIDESTL because you get free stuff by doing so. It's Harry's Razors, a new sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. And I am a new client of Harry's Razors. I like to try and get people who I am using their product or I already am using as advertisers on the show because then I can speak first person about it, and I can do that with Harry's Razors. I had been using the same product. They don't want me to, and I don't want to kill the other product but from another company for years, and then I made the switch to Harry's Razors, and there truly is a difference. The shave is just so smooth. It's like you don't even feel it.
Kind of razor, you drop the blade in and close the top. Is that how it...
And then away you go, sir. It's Harry's Razors. Five-blade razors now include softer flex hinge for a more comfortable glide, trimmer blade for hard-to-reach places, and a lubricating strip along with textured handle for more control when it's wet. Still just $2 per blade compared to $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. By owning the factory in Germany where they make the blades, Harry's can produce high-quality razors themselves and then sell them online for half the price. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they'll send you their popular free trial set, which comes with a razor, five-blade cartridge, and shaving gel. Get your free trial when you subscribe. Go to harrys.com right now, harrys.com, and you just pay $3 for the shipping. That's it. That's it. $3 for shipping. Plus, special offer for our listeners. Enter the code INSIDESTL at checkout, and you get a post-shave balm for free. So it's $3. That's it. The shipping, and you get all of that for free. Go to harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com. Right now, and enter code INSIDESTL at checkout to claim your free trial set and post-shave balm. It's harrys.com, promo code INSIDESTL.com. Here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Matt Holliday today, and then, of course, Stephen Stingray Ray, all our guests on the Ryan Kelly Morning
After. Both were great.
Both wonderful, all in the same hour. We actually had to cut off Stingray in a real estate transaction you were making.
The Holiday gave me his house in St. Louis.
That was neighbors. Nice.
It's been well documented.
Right.
And then Stingray is going to take over my seat on the show, and I'm going to get his 10 houses.
In Tuscaloosa.
Yeah.
That's a nice deal.
I got
first, though, you would probably want to go to the Post.
You know why, Tim? Because if you're going to watch playoff baseball, if you're going to watch Blues hockey and you can't be at the games, there's no better place to be than the Post Sports Bar and Grill. You know, they were sad that the Rams left town, as we all were, but they wanted to keep some of the home team vibes and atmosphere around. So they had a preseason contest to determine a new season-long Post home team at each location and started a weekly contest. The two Post home teams that came out on top were the Packers at Maplewood and the Carolina Panthers at Creve Coeur. So if you're a fan of those teams, you can go watch your NFL football. If you wear the gear, you get discounts. They have great contests. So you watch your NFL football at the Post, your Blues hockey, and your playoff baseball. And stay posted, my friends.
Yep, the Postmaster General, the Plowhawk. We'll be there with TMA Live on October 27th at the Creve Coeur location. The Post Sports Bar and Grill. They also have that Tullamore Dew, I would imagine. Tullamore Dew is the official Irish whiskey of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. All right, boys and girls, it's time for email of the day. Iggy, I guess you'll get the third vote here.
Looking forward to it.
That's important, Iggy.
This is an important thing. We're giving away Blues
to. He rolled his eyes.
Fellas, I love that segment you guys did today in the 8 o'clock hour. No, not the one about the porn stars. I'm talking about the Name a Random Movie and Let's Workshop It segment. Care if I play along too? Affair to Remember, 1956, 1957? Doug, it features the great Cary Grant, who is rumored to be a bottom for Randolph Scott, but his daughter denies it. Was he the one in Gone with the Wind? No, that's Clark Gable, who is remembered for his role in It Happened One Night, was also rumored to be a lover of men. Can't wait to hear tomorrow's movie, River Phoenix, Ah Yes, Viper Room. Are those things? Are those allegations made often about Clark Gable?
I've never heard that.
Yeah.
He was a ladies' man, I thought.
Yeah, so was Rock Hudson, right?
Well,
the Rock Man, yeah.
Doris Day.
Guys, Plops here. I was at the gym doing my butt kegels the other day, and
what?
A listener came up. I just read what's in the prompter. A listener came up to me to talk about the show. The question came up, how come you only ride in and never call in? I had to think about this for a minute, and then a song started playing in my head, and it answered all of my questions. How Do You Talk to an Angel by a little-known 90s band called The Heights. Yes. On Beverly Hills 90210, Jackie Papers. The question posed by the chorus, how do you talk to an angel? How do you hold her close to where you are? And that makes me think of Doug, Totes Obvi. Angel because he has wings. Again, Totes Obvi. And by wings, Totes Obvi, I mean his droopy lats that hang off his hairless back like boobies on the wrong side of a body. His magic angel dust is the fresh cloud talcum powder that flies off his tuchus as he walks past me nude in the locker room of the South County YMCA. So that's why I don't call in, guy. I wouldn't know how to talk to such an angel. Simple as that. Glad to be here, though. Misty Plops, Director of Logistics at BeautifulPicturesOfTimPlayingSports.com.
He's on a roll.
Yeah, Misty Plops is a machine right now. He's the Red Sox in October 2004. Dear Doug, this is your confirmation email that we here at the Clinton Party have received your generous donation. We can't thank you enough. Without you and the rest of the deplorable Democratic people's money, all of this wouldn't be possible. As I'm sure your mother would say when you received money on your birthday, you need to write a thank you card and what you're going to spend it on. Here at the Clinton headquarters, your $6 donation will most likely spread out to attack ads, money to pay off the anchors or networks, but we see the majority being sent to our hitman to take out Julian Assange. Doug Vaughn, you are not just a great American, but you are a great Democrat. I know we here at Clinton headquarters can speak for Hillary when we say you two would be great friends. Thanks again, Doug. And remember, death to Fox News. And please go to our website to have Sean Hannity put in jail for not agreeing with us. That comes from the white collar gangster
white-collar gangster. I'll play the role of Doug.
Oh, hey, morning. You are officially the show of record. When someone comes on the show, you can officially say it's over. Thanks, Kyle Loesch, Jim Edmonds, Matt Holliday, the Dalian, and the radio DJ guy that went to the Brewers. Thanks, Dan.
Dan. Beal. Dan. Oh, Dan Beal. Yeah, Dan. Hi, Dan. Dan. We miss you.
Dear Mr. Strode, need to spice up your morning radio show. We here at Spiegel Entertainment have always provided adult stars, but we now represent B-list celebrities as well. From the Hallmark Channel to the Hustler Channel, we have them all. From Bonnie Rotten to Bonnie Hunt, Lonnie Anderson to Lana Rhodes. No matter who you need for an interview, they're likely to be healthy, clean, hilarious, and answer any of your questions with curt three-word replies. Call now and get Ron Jeremy and Dennis Franz in the studio. You can play fun games with your audience, trying to guess which one is which. Producing a ham radio show is hard, Mr. Strode. Let Spiegel Entertainment be your gateway to the stars, or at least kill 40 minutes until the next segment. That's from Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
Hey, fellows, here's how the first 30 minutes of the show sounded to your audience. Blah, 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 and Frank Cusimano on at 10. Frank Thomas was a good first base. They called him the Big Hurt. William Hurt was an actor. He was in the movie The Big Chill. And Kevin Kline, Patsy Cline, really was a big star back in the day. Doris Day was Calamity Jane. Jane Goodall worked with Chimps. Chimps was a TV show with the handsome Eric Estrada. Eric Lindros was a great player with the Flyers. P.T. Flyers were that Benny the Jet Rodriguez wore the Sandlot. Frank Rodriguez was a good picture for the Red Sox and Twins. Frank Cusimano held the DeSmet High School basketball scoring record. Hashtag full circle. Hi, Iggy. That comes from the Sexy Robot.
Sexy Robot. Been a while for him, hasn't it?
Yeah, one of the greats. One of the greats. Sup, Dre. Sup, Tim. Yo, there is no way Stingray owns and rents out property. Great follow-up question by the cat, though, asking him the property value of his real estate. I haven't had it appraised in a while. Doug could appraise it online in 5 minutes. Come on, man. Good fry talk, though. Not sure I've ever heard Arby's regarded as the go-to place, though. I do like them sweet potato waffle fries. They moved up in my power ranking from about 8 to number 1 in the past year, I think mainly due to Llewellyn's. Also on my Mount Rushmore is seasoned fries, McDonald's fries, and steak fries. Doug, I was able to book that double-ended dilly you've been wanting to try out. I have rented it for the next 24 hours, so come on over, and when you get off work, we can make that 3-foot dill disappear on our bums?
No, that guy, who is that?
That's a Jeffco gentleman.
The Jeffco gentleman, you, sir, have been suspended for a period of 2 days' time. If Doug were here, he would put your name in the Llewellyn suspension logbook.
Makes that whole thing possible is what they do. Ahoy, great show today, Tim. You really kept those other two hacks in line and flat put them in their place. And the way you ran the interviews was great also, even in the face of adversity, which manifested itself in two forms. A, the get-off-my-lawn musings from that old haggard old queen. And number two, the interrupting Jew. Keep up the stellar work, Tim. You really are the best. Yours this and every ma'am. Lefty Jack Smear.
Lefty, that seemed like you were lemonading quite
a bit. Just a bit. There. And finally, morning. Butt plugs for Hillary. I've noticed this show has become a place for lads to discuss their stepfather, so thought I'd share my story, which was a lot like the Brady Bunch, only if Jan was a teenage boy. Only a few people knew the true story about my stepfather, a curly-haired nymph who paired cute boots with pastel bell-bottoms. So tight-fitting were those trousers, you could see the outline of that hog from a mile away.
Oh.
Anyway, he liked to give me lectures while I sat on his knee. I had feelings for this fellow, and it was mutual. But it all changed before my big performance when I sang Time to Change. My voice started cracking, and my stepfather no longer responded to my aggressive advances. I'd prance around in cute little bottoms, but he would look the other way. To everyone out there who has received the cold shoulder from a cute stepdad, just know there's always another well-hung fish in the sea, and probably at a father's son dance. Keep your heads up. The cute twink of Crestwood.
The cute twink of Crestwood.
Lots to work with there. Somebody's going to a Blues game. The cat, what you got?
You know, there were some good ones. I would say 3 or 4 solid emails. They could have won on another day, but Misty Plops is on a roll, and his email today was the best of the bunch.
Take it.
I didn't really get Misty Plops. I didn't understand. You two were giggling like schoolgirls, and I didn't get it. I would have given it to Sexy Robot, but it's actually Chips, not Chimps.
Also, PF Flyers, not PT Flyer.
Yeah. So a couple of errors he's really penalized for.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bill Pullman's Independence
Day
speech.
This makes it tough because you boys see these are the two I'm holding up.
Well, we can't really see what you're holding up.
So it could be any email.
Okay.
But
he's being honest.
Misty Plops, Director of Logistics, and then Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech. God.
Plops is better. You know it is.
Keep in mind, Plots already has like the entire bottom roll of it.
He's won.
You can't do that.
But I have to give the best email, and I think I did have to go. I have to go with Misty Plots. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech wins 90% of the time. Hey, I have a phone call coming in. It's from Kirkwood. I wonder who.
He's got the entire lower bowl of the...
For the game?
He has more tickets than StubHub, I think. He'd probably just get a hold of Misty Plots.
You know what this is like? This is like the Republican primary. Everyone was complaining about Trump. You know how you... Beat Trump.
That's how you do it.
Okay, so the emailer's got to step up and beat Plops. He's on a roll right now.
It was outstanding, but just not today. Misty Plops did it again. Time for us to shut it down. It's the Frank Cusimano Hollywood Casino Press Box coming your way next. This is the Lion's Choice. Famous roast beef handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Lion's Choice. Oh, so good. We're so happy to have him as a sponsor here on the program. I'll tell you, talking about something I enjoy. That Lion's Choice is no joke. New one right near us. What is that? Manchester and Rock Hill?
Yeah.
In Rock Hill? So good. Lion's Choice, the sponsor of the handoff to Frank Cusimano and the Hollywood Casino Press Box, a great sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. More locations now. That means more of St. Louis's favorite roast beef sandwiches. So if you haven't, make sure you visit any one of the Lion's Choice locations today because there are 25 of them, which means there's one most likely near you. Time for us to shut it down for the Plowhawk, for Iggy, for the Sea Monster. For my brother Kevin, for Douglas Elvin Vaughn, and for Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.